Go ahead and call tonight's meeting of the Story County Planning and Zoning Commission to order. Can we get a roll call, Stephanie, please?
Steele.
Here.
Cable.
Here.
McBride.
Here.
Merkin.
Here.
Smith.
Here.
Holstrom. Absent.
Are there any changes or additions to tonight's agenda? Here you go, the agenda will stand approved. How about changes or additions to the March 2017 minutes?
I move approval.
I'll second that.
The minutes stand approved.
Need motion, okay.
Either way is fine. All right, we have time now for public comment on issues that are not scheduled to be heard tonight at the Planning Commission meeting. Is there anyone here who would like to address the Planning Commission on an issue not on the agenda tonight? Okay, then. We can move on to our public hearings, and the first one is rezoning 04-17, the Thomason rezoning request.
Anyway. Thank you. It's case number REZ04/17. Applicant is Jennifer Thomason, 20046 270th Street in Hubbard. It's a rezoning request change from an A2 agribusiness district to the A1 agricultural district. Actually, it's A2 agribusiness and A1 agricultural district to commercial light industrial district. That's the district that they're proposing to change it to. There is no change to the cornerstone to capstone comprehensive plan. It is given an urban expansion area designation. Urban expansion area is those areas that are close to cities, areas where future growth is anticipated, where annexation is possible, and a requirement potentially for going under the city's development standards. So this is a 4-acre site. It's at 70197 130th Street. The proposed use of the site is for fuel sales, convenience store, restaurant, Jeep vehicle and parts sales, camper and RV repair. Most of that work will probably take place at Dakin's Lake, assisting campers with issues that they experience with their campers, in addition to beef, chicken, and pork sales that will be incorporated with the restaurant use. The existing building, primarily that area surrounding it, is zoned A2 agribusiness. The history, back in 1983, the property was rezoned from A1 to A2 for an office, farm store, and petroleum sales use. This is the vicinity map. This is in Lincoln Township. It's just east of Highway 65. It's on the north side of 130th Street. We're just north and west of the city of Zurn. Zooming in, this is a 2013 aerial. Subject property, again, it's a little over 4-acre parcel. Land use, for the most part, is agricultural. To the north, south, to the east is a football field that was used by the Colonesco School District. It's currently being, it's not used at this time. Corporate limits, you can see to the south and east right here. That parcel is primarily in ag production. There's some row of trees along the western edge of it and a creek that runs through it. And there's a business to the east of it, a trucking, agricultural trucking business. To the north and west is an ag-related business. They do repair on ag equipment. It's about 800 feet from the subject property. The closest business inside the city of Zurn is about 300 feet away. This is the zoning. Again, it's split zoned. The green represents the A2 agribusiness district. To the east of that is the A1 district. You see the red area, which is the commercial light industrial. No, this is the district that they're proposing to change to. There's two parcels here, one on the northeast corner and one on the northwest corner of the intersection. The closest property to this parcel in the city is zoned light industrial along the north half. The south half is residential, single family. As is most of the land east of it, there's a continuation of the light industrial to the east of the existing zoned area. Statement of 10, A2 agribusiness, basically says that there's to be a strong connection with the agricultural uses. They're to be surrounded by A1 agricultural districts. A1 is for agricultural livestock, row crop production. The idea there is that there would be no encroachment from urban land uses as well. This is from the C2C future land use map designation, urban expansion areas. The blue area encompasses the entire parcel. Again, urban expansion is an area that is typically set aside for future growth of cities. It's potentially where cities might annex and provide city services in those locations. A little closer view of the property. Again, it's an existing building that was built in 83. There's two accesses off of 130th Street. There's the gas pumps, existing pumps, on the south side and west side of the building. Those areas are paved. The rest of it consists of gravel. And the gravel does extend around the entire building. You can see a heavily treed area in the northwest portion of the property, and then to the east of the building is primarily grass. Standards of approval, these are the things that Planning and Zoning Commission are to consider and the Board of Adjustment ultimately. The first thing is the proposed rezoning shall conform to the Story County Development Plan, C2C plan. Again, the first thing to consider there is the future growth areas with this urban expansion designation. Again, these are areas that are potentially to be annexed. With this particular case, there is interest. Nothing has been started yet by the city, but there is interest in annexing this property and potentially providing sewer service. Again, we are to work with cities that have this designation in understanding their comprehensive planning efforts and city development standards. For the purposes of avoiding overlap in jurisdictional requirements for the most part. So, again, it brings you to the things that we are to consider. The city's future land use plans and goals. It's to encourage annexation. Again, this is being considered for annexation by the city. They have not started that process yet, though. We're to coordinate the review process. Use development standards by the city where applicable. Identify or come up with rezoning agreements, annexation agreements. That's not necessarily the case with this particular application. Encourage developments to take access off of existing paved roads. That's the case here. And then mitigate and manage stormwater runoffs and soil erosion. Planning staff did communicate with the city. As I mentioned, they're considering annexing the property, but have not started that process yet. We also communicated the standards in the C2C plan for urban expansion areas, and they will not be imposing their standards at this time for development. So in looking at the comp plan, when we went through that process of developing the plan, we had many open house sessions, and these are some of the points that were raised from some of the input that we received from some of the citizens that relate to this request. If you look under weaknesses and threats to governance, leadership, and learning environments, there's comments made about lack of services in small communities, economic prosperity, lack of economic diversification. There was a comment made about growth shouldn't be only goal and our only goal. Other goals should be to maintain and improve existing facilities. Small towns have little to no businesses and less tax base. Under growth-oriented and sustainable infrastructure, there was a comment made about the need to attract new businesses. Strengths and opportunities under natural amenities, camping and recreational areas were identified. The Zering Park was identified. Under governance, leadership, and learning environments, there's a comment made about public has the opportunity to be engaged at many levels. Transparency was important. Communities have a good idea of where they want to go. And then under growth, oriented, and sustainable infrastructure, Highway 65 corridor was identified as a positive, and more companies moving in was a point as well. So some of the questions that were asked under quality of life highlights indicate changes you think would improve the quality of life in Story County. 42% said expansion of retail shopping options. 643 citizens responded to that. How would you describe the availability of places to shop or dine in the county? It's somewhat split. Some said adequate, some said lacking, but 531 responded to that. So the next thing to consider on a rezoning request is the statement of intent. And under the Commercial Light Industrial District statement of intent, it does include retail, commercial services, wholesale, warehousing, light industrial uses, the list goes on. But they're typically things that have minimum impact to the surrounding land uses with regard to nuisance-type activities. Proposed uses for the building and property would meet the statement of intent. Most of the activities will take place inside the building except for the actual dispensing of fuel and the sales of Jeeps that are proposed for the southwest quarter of the site. There's no building expansion that's planned, no grading. They do plan to add gravel, but there's no grading that's planned. Proposed businesses will increase traffic from the level that was identified. There was a reduction over the period that was reviewed, over that 8-year period, so there will be some offsetting in that with this proposed use. There are two accesses leading into the property. They've been reviewed by the County Engineering Department. Greatest number of activity, traffic activity, will likely occur in the morning, in the afternoon, and then late in the evening during the peak periods. And then, as we noted, the 130th Street will be overlaid with new asphalt from the western corporate limits of the city to the common Marshall-Story County border this summer. So the next thing to consider is the proposed rezoning shall be compatible with surrounding land uses and development patterns. We think the impact of this will be minimal. Again, it's surrounded by ag land for the most part and an unused football field to the east. Closest business in the county is about 800 feet to the west on the northwest corner of the intersection. Closest business in the city is about 300 feet to the east. With regard to natural resources, there really isn't anything that's identified from the layers in our information that's available to us, so the impact on that will be minimal. One thing that we're to consider with a A1 or A2 district is the land evaluation site assessment, which gets to the soil qualities and the characteristics of that soil with regard to the ag use. And we did run those numbers, and they came back low, so it's under the threshold. So that's not an issue. Comments that we received on the request, we did have conceptual review on February 16 of this year. And then after that review process that involved the county departments, the application for the rezoning was submitted. Planning and development staff had various comments with regard to what the review process was, providing some history of the property, identified specific site requirements, asked about proposed improvements, asked about whether or not if there was interest with other landowners participating on the request. And then during the submittal of the rezoning application, had questions about plans for the actual starting of the business. We provided background about the C2C plan and the designation and how that impacts the city. Asked about closest gas stations and restaurants in the area. Again, we talked about proposed improvements. The There's LP tanks on the east side of the site. The property has gone through a change to natural gas through the applicant's planning. Engineering department looked at the accesses, as I mentioned, and indicated that they were okay. Provides a note about events. Initially, the application included a conditional use permit for a proposed course that was to be planned for the east side of the site, and through the review of that and input from the staff, there was a decision made by the applicant to pull that and to resurrect that at a future date. Environmental health, this is the latest information from the environmental health staff. There's an existing septic system. The input there from the director is that the applicant is able to start the business with what's proposed, and that they will work out a written agreement to either have sanitary sewer extended to the site and or improvements made to that septic system, which the applicant is aware of. Comments from the general public. We did send notices March 17 to all property owners within a quarter mile of the property. Also sent a notice to the city of Zeering. We received 37 written responses from citizens inside the city and outside the city in support of the request. We also received a separate letter from the mayor and the city council in support of the request from the city of Zeering. We had a meeting with a board supervisor member and the applicant and a representative from the city on March 17 to go over the request. We received an email April 2 from a citizen from the city of Zeering who supports the request. And then we also received a phone call from somebody who really had questions about the application. And so we provided information about that. We provided publication information, which was published March 23 and March 30th. And the Board of Supervisors did take action to set a hearing on the 4th for action on the 11th. So utilities and services, it is has access to the City of Zeering Water, Alliant Energy, Electric, is that service. Again, they converted the LP gas to natural gas. Police, it's Story County Sheriff. It's within the Zeering Fire Department District, Story County Ambulance Service District, and it is not in a drainage district. So points to consider and review of the request. Again, it previously was a commercial, agricultural-related business. City officials and many citizens do support the request. We think the impact to the area will be minimal. Again, there are plans, discussion to annex this. The future home will likely be inside the city of Zeering. The location is beneficial to the applicant due to the proximity of the city and that intersection of Highway 65 and 130th. And then also it's close to Dakin's Lake, which is a part of the service that they're proposing to provide, assisting people with issues that that have issues with campers. And, of course, Highway 30, they're proposing to do an overlay, which will help access. So based on field observation, review of all the documentation, discussions that we've had with the applicant, the city of Zeering officials, information that we provided, that was provided and reviewed, we are recommending approval of the rezoning from the A2 agribusiness and A1 agricultural district to the commercial and light industrial district with conditions. The first one, and again, we did go through these conditions with the applicant. It's primarily identifying or laying out the parking spaces. Again, they're not proposing to do any fill work, dirt work, but they need to provide a ADA compliant parking space and sign. Provide a statement about meeting the Iowa Stormwater Management Manual and SUDIS erosion control requirements. They are showing more than 10 spaces, so there's a tree requirement of one tree per five parking spaces. And the most recent site plan sketch does show that. We're giving her 60 days to complete that. And then the revised environmental health response, which is, again, there's going to be a written agreement. And she can start her business, but she will need to either have sanitary sewer extended or provide the improvements to the septic system. So with that, that brings us to the action, which we are recommending item number 2, which states the Story County Planning and Zoning Commission recommends approval of the requested zoning amendment with the condition to the Story County Board of Supervisors as put forth in case RAZ04-17. With that, I'd be happy to answer your questions.
Questions for Jay?
Yeah, just a few. Where did you say that? You said there's a creek in the area?
There's a drainage area.
It looked like it was right to the east of the property.
Yeah. I'm sorry, my pointer is dead, but there is a drainage way to the east of the eastern limits.
So it looks like a grass waterway or something coming out of that field. Is that what it is?
Right. It extends to the northeast, to the south.
Okay.
But it's on the eastern edge. But again, they're not planning on doing any fill work.
Okay, and it looks like it's pretty much vegetation there that's not going to be disturbed.
Grass.
And, okay, that can be related to something, because that's what I was wondering about. You went through it quickly. And I was thinking about something else, quite frankly. The dirt track for the Jeeps, well, that was withdrawn.
Yeah, that was part of the initial submittal. It was a conditional use permit. It would have been a course. And courses might be permitted with a conditional use permit. There's a 20-acre site area that also included a variance request. But after reviewing it and providing response to it from county staff, the applicant agreed to withdraw that and submit something for that use at a later date.
But they're supposed to be selling Jeeps?
Correct.
Okay, so you're not going to have any, you're not going to be doing anything about having the tracks of people trying them out. Okay.
Yep.
And that's considered two accesses?
Yes.
From the road?
There's two separate ones there.
There are, okay.
Yep, one's here, and one is here.
Okay. There's something, the gas pumps on the west, it looked to me like the gas pumps were on the east.
Yeah, there's two. There's two on the south. And then there's two over here.
Oh, okay. I was looking at something else then, I thought.
Yeah.
Okay. They changed to natural gas. Are the LP tanks removed then, or going to be removed?
That's the plan, to remove them.
Okay. And not in the drainage district, you said?
No.
Okay. Up by 65 and E18 on the northeast and northwest, you had something in red on that first slide, and you said that was part of this request?
No, I was just saying that area is currently zoned commercial light industrial district, and that's the district that they're asking for.
Two more very quick questions. Fuel sales just means pumps and cars and pickups, right? It doesn't mean any big bulk kind of thing, correct?
Right, and I think they want to do like a 24-hour service so you can...
People can pump their own. Okay.
At the pump and pay.
Final question. Beef, chicken, and pork sales. Is there going to be a locker?
No. They're going to pay by bulk. And it's already processed. Oh, yeah. It's already gone through the locker process. And yeah. Just
but it would just be selling raw meat bulk, not...
They'll be offering it in the restaurant.
Okay. That's it.
Other questions,
Gary? My understanding now is that they're free to go ahead and open on the date that they want to open. Is that correct?
Well, after the Planning and Zoning Commission, it goes on to the Board of Supervisors. Tentatively, that would be the 11th. And because this is an ordinance change, the Board of Supervisors are required to take action on two separate meetings. So the next meeting would be the 18th. Is when they would know when the action would be.
And then there's another meeting, or we've had the first meeting?
the first meeting for the Board of Supervisors would be the 11th.
And then they have to review it a second time, is that correct? When's that meeting?
The 18th.
You knew that? Did you all know that? Okay.
Any other questions? Okay, we're going to open the public hearing on this item. If anyone would like to speak at all for or against or just provide comments, you're welcome to step up to the podium, please. If you could give us your name and address for the record, that would be wonderful. Actually, let me ask if the applicant in particular would like to speak first. Go ahead and step up to the podium.
Sure. My husband, Josh.
Right there.
Thank you.
And there's a microphone there that will help us with our recording.
I'm Jennifer Thomason. This is my husband, Josh Thomason. I do most of the paperwork stuff, so my name's on there, but clearly we're both applying for this as a team. We weren't aware that the zoning did not... was not what it needed to be for us to operate the business there. So just so everyone's clear, when we purchased the property, it was sold to us as a commercial property. We were unaware that the zoning was not being reflected correctly. And if you were to ask anyone in the Zeering community, the business has been run by as a commercial convenience store and cafe for quite some time. I talked to Pat Reese, which is the woman who built the property with her husband. Her husband had passed away. I just talked to her this morning, and she was under the assumption that the property was zoned correctly when they zoned it in 1983, and this is the first time she's heard of it not having been zoned correctly for the businesses that we're requesting. So this business was operated for over a decade as a convenience store and a restaurant without being in compliance with zoning, unbeknownst to the owner. So we're asking to continue or restart a business in this community that the community has been serving for many years, not knowing that it wasn't zoned correctly. So you're aware of that.
And we're just here really to provide a service for the community of Zeering and the surrounding communities. There's not a lot of opportunity for people to be able to shop for meat or for candy or for whatever, you know. And then also providing a restaurant in the area. There's none right away. So if we can provide that for the community, that's what we would like to do.
Thank you. Any questions for the applicant?
You don't plan on selling tires, do you?
No.
Don't want to do tires.
Aside from the convenience store portion of it, we are trying to gear our business towards not competing with the other business in town. We have gotten support from Mr. Good, who owns the other gas station in town, and we've been very deliberate in trying not to compete with the services that they offer. So as specific as not selling pizza that they sell and not selling chicken because and not selling tires. we want to be nice and try to be able to have both businesses survive and continue in that community. So
there should be plenty of business for both.
All right, thank you.
Thanks.
Is there anyone in the audience who'd like to comment on the application tonight? Okay, then we will close the public hearing and open it to planning commission discussion. I just have one bit of commentary, and that is that while it's nice to know what the next use is going to be, we are asked to make a permanent change to the zoning map. So we need to consider whether all of the long list of potential uses in that district are okay for that site, not just the first one after the rezoning.
Of all that long list, what do you see as all those uses that might potentially be more objectionable to people in the surrounding area?
Nothing in particular, but PJ asked, for example, about fuel sales. What was that?
I asked,
what was it,
just bulk storage?
Well, potentially there could be bulk storage there, even though this property owner is not proposing that. I'm guessing that's somewhere buried in that list of uses.
However, there are already
commercial light industrial businesses being run 300 and 800 feet away on, you know, this main paved road. So it's not out of character for the area.
And the proximity to the city's light industrial zone.
Right.
I agree. There's nothing that stands out on the list of permitted uses that seems objectionable to the site.
And to the point that was made that, you know, it's been operating as a C-store and gas station in an A2 zone for, you know, since, what, 1983.
Well, it's been vacant for a couple years.
3 years. Uses tend to morph and creep over the years.
Understood. I just...
Any other questions or discussion, or are we ready to make a motion?
I just am curious, is there a cap on the number of used vehicles at all, or is it kind of open? Sorry, I was looking for that.
They were proposing like 10 at a time.
Okay.
And at this site will probably dictate really how many they can work in with okay. The other things that they're proposing to do there. But there's no maximum. We'll have to get a license from the state to sell.
You have to maintain a certain number of parking spaces and everything like that, too, so that somewhat limits the possibility. Is there a motion, Planning Commission?
Oh, yeah. Let's move this through.
I will take that as a motion for McBride.
Second.
But PJ, can we have a second?
Can we have Linda?
Alternative two.
We have a second from you, Linda.
I'm seconding alternative two if that's your motion.
Then we have a motion and a second. Can we just clarify that we are talking about alternative two?
Yes. Yes, exactly.
Any other discussion on the motion? Okay, roll call vote, please.
Merkin?
Aye.
Cable?
Aye.
Steele?
Yes.
McBride?
Aye.
Smith?
Yes.
Holstrom.
Yes.
Motion passes. You have a positive recommendation of the Board of Supervisors, and as is already discussed, we have a couple meetings coming up then. So, good luck. All right, we can move on to CUP 4-17, Alliant Energy Tower. And Amelia.
Hello.
Hi, Amelia.
Let's see. Oh, sorry, I'm used to a 2016. Okay, so we have a conditional use permit application for a communication tower. The property is located in Richland Township. The applicant is Dustin Kern on behalf of Alliant Energy. So the purpose of this communication tower is to support communications that Alliant Energy has with its crews and substations. These communications could include information on restoration during outages. It could support advanced metering infrastructure. And the purpose of the tower is also to replace an existing communication tower that is located just to the west of the site. That communication tower is not able to support this new technology. So the nature of the request, again, it is a 365-foot communication tower. It's lattice type, galvanized steel finish. There is a compound associated with the tower that's fenced in. In that compound, there will be an emergency generator, an LP tank, and an equipment storage enclosure. Here's the vicinity map. The red square is Richland Township. The star is the subject property. You can see it's right off 220th, and just to the east is 650th. So here's the zoning around the site. It's all A1 agricultural. The C2C future land use map does designate two properties just to the right as rural residential. You can see that one of these properties has a single family dwelling on it, and the existing tower is located on the other property. And we'll talk about this more as we get into the presentation here. But the existing tower, again, would be replaced so that it would no longer be on that rural residential future land use map property. And it would also be further away from the single family dwelling. So here's the parcel that the site is proposed to be located on. This parcel is a proposed parcel. Because Alliant Energy, under the direction of staff previously, we did not realize that this was a commercial tower, that there would be co-location on the tower. And so a zoning permit and approval by the Board of Supervisors we thought was the proper course of action, which requires different setbacks than the conditional use permit for commercial towers. And so the parcel that's there meets the setbacks required if it were just a zoning permit process for a non-commercial tower. But Alliant is in the process of replatting the parcel, reconfiguring it, so that the tower can meet the setbacks required through the conditional use permit process instead. So again, this is proposed. They're working on it. And staff has proposed that this is a condition of approval, that this proposed parcel is recorded prior to the construction of the tower. Here's the site plan. You can see the tower location and compound is located in the northern half to quarter of the parcel, about 550 feet from the right-of-way of the road, so pretty far back on the property. Here's the tower compound layout. You can see the tower, the generator, the equipment enclosure, and the LP tank, and these will actually, the generator and the equipment enclosure will be moved from the existing tower site, so these aren't new buildings. Here's a site photo looking north onto the tower site, looking north from the tower site. It's mainly agricultural. This is looking east. There's some single family dwellings, farm dwellings along 220th, now looking southeast. Again, looking south, more agricultural land. You can see the existing single family dwelling. It's located to the southwest of the tower site, and here's the existing tower that will be replaced just west of the tower site. Here's a close-up of that as well. And this is looking northwest from the tower site. So for standards of approval with a conditional use permit, there are five main standards of approval, and then communications towers and facilities have additional supplemental standards that will also go through. So first, the first five standard conditions of approval: compatibility. This use is permitted in the A1 zoning district if a conditional use permit is granted. It's also compatible with the area, which is mainly in agricultural row crops. The tower, the 7.3-acre parcel that the tower is proposed to be located on, this area that is not in the use of the compound or for the tower will continue to be farmed, actually, by the current property owner. So we're not taking a lot of land out of agricultural production here. And moving the tower and replacing it actually is more in line with the C2C future land use map. Moving the tower further away from that single family dwelling and taking it off of that other rural residential designated property. Regarding transition, again, the tower is located 550 feet north of the right-of-way, pretty far back. It meets all setbacks and separation distance requirements for the supplemental standards. And there's also going to be an 8-foot tall chain link fence around the tower compound, and that will also be screened from the right-of-way with some landscaping. Regarding traffic, overall traffic levels are going to increase. There is that existing tower, same road that the existing tower takes access off of. Alliant Energy, after construction, will do quarterly inspections. And the applicant has also provided a hammerhead off of that drive that we saw, so that the trucks that do have to go there have adequate maneuvering room. They can turn around. They don't have to back out, that kind of thing. Parking and loading. No parking or equipment storage will take place in the right-of-way. That was the main concern there. Signs and lighting. There's no proposed signs. Regarding lighting requirements, the FAA's determination of no hazard to air navigation for this tower requires certain lighting standards. The FAA advisory on these lighting standards shows that the lighting that will be on the tower is the least environmentally impactful lighting they could choose. It's red side lights at night, flashing white during the day. Environmental protection. The site development plan includes erosion control measures, an erosion control sock around the site. It also, the site development plan has a statement that they will meet all erosion control requirements listed in the land development regulations for Story County. And it also includes a statement that the Iowa Stormwater Management Manual and SUDIS design standards specifications, best management practices, won't be needed on the site because there will be a negligible impact on the natural hydrology. We got that statement from an engineer on the signed site plan. So further analysis, if you find that all these conditions are met that we just went over, you must also find that if completed as proposed, there can't be a strong possibility that any of these effects will happen as a result of the development. Not adequately safeguarding health, safety, general welfare. Again, the tower will be built in compliance with required setbacks from the right-of-way and with proper FAA lighting specifications. It cannot impair an adequate supply of light and air to surrounding properties. This is a lattice-type tower. The surrounding properties with single-family dwellings are farther away now than with the existing tower. Number three, it can't unduly increase congestion on the roads. Again, it won't increase traffic over current standards, and they will get an E911 address and an access permit as per our Story County Land Development Regulation requirements. Number four, they cannot diminish or impair established property values. Assessor's office had no comments on this development, and again, there is an existing tower in the vicinity. And five, not being in accord with the intent or purpose of the land development regulations or C2C plan. Again, the C2C plan is about preserving the county's rural character in this area. And only 4% of the land on the proposed site will be taken out of agriculture for the purpose of the tower. The rest of the 7.3-acre site will continue to be in agriculture. So moving on to the supplemental standards required for communication towers, the first one is that co-location is investigated. So is there a way for this technology to go on another tower? The applicant explains that, again, the existing tower was not able to pass a feasibility analysis for if it could support the new technology. It doesn't mean the tower is not safe. It just means that it was built in 1964 and didn't pass the variety of tests required to support the new technology. The applicant also had to have a site as close to the existing tower as possible so that the radio frequencies wouldn't change. So they did investigate co-location, and that wasn't an option. So that's why this new tower is being proposed. Second supplemental standard, separation from planned or existing residential properties. This really only applies if they're adjacent to the site, which they're not. But if they were, the applicant's proposed site would still meet the separation distances required. Regarding height, the supplemental standard is that it's a minimum necessary for the technology. We did receive a statement from an engineer confirming that it's the minimum height required to support the technology they need. For required setbacks, the supplemental standards require, based on the tower's height, that it's set back 547 feet from the roadway and 182.5 feet from other adjacent properties. It meets all of these standards. With the new proposed configuration of that parcel. Again, they did reconfigure the parcel to make sure that they met these standards. Additionally, the equipment enclosure building meets the standards required in the A1 Agricultural District for setbacks. Fencing and screening. Again, there's an 8-foot tall fence with barbed wire around the tower compound. This supplemental standard also relates to anti-climbing measures. And the applicant will remove pegs, the climbing pegs, from the bottom 20 feet of the tower, install an anti-climbing door you can see here in this model. And the supplemental standard for fencing and screening also contains the requirement for the landscaping from the right-of-way. And so they'll have 5 dogwoods and 5 viburnum along the fence to further screen the compound. We also have supplemental standards for aesthetics requiring that it's finished in galvanized steel, which it is. Aesthetics also includes lighting, which, again, is determined by the FAA. that proposal complies with the FAA regulations, and they've selected the minimum or the least environmentally impactful lighting. Compliance with other regulations, the City of Ames, the municipal airport, submitted a no-conflict letter for this tower. Obstruction of view, our second-to-last supplemental standard, this really relates to, are there publicly owned parks, open spaces adjacent to the property? They're not. And the proposed tower is located pretty far back from the right-of-way if you were to consider 220th of view corridor. But again, it's mostly agricultural, as you can see from the site photos. Finally, the applicant did provide all submittal requirements. But again, they're in the process of reconfiguring the parcel, and so planning and development has made that one condition that that new parcel is recorded prior to starting construction on the tower. This was routed through interagency review. I also did conceptual review. These were some of the comments we received. Planning and development's comments were mainly all addressed. Again, they need an E911 address. They have to follow the standards for removal of abandoned towers and facilities on the other tower. Story County Engineering Department did comment that they would need a new driveway permit, and the applicant is aware of that. We sent out notification letters on the 28th to the properties within a quarter mile and received no comments. So our recommendation is, again, to approve conditional use permit application CUP04-17 with the condition that a plat of survey be recorded for the reconfiguration of the existing parcel into that proposed 7.3 net acre parcel prior to the issuance of a zoning permit for the construction of the tower. Questions?
We have a schedule for the removal of the other tower.
So the first, we can ask the applicant that too. But what I saw from the initial conceptual review, I shouldn't say that, but I saw 30 days initially, but.
Okay.
I don't recall asking them.
We'll check the app.
Yes.
Any other questions for the staff? Okay, well, the applicant might step up to the podium and address the commission. Do you have any more questions? You can state your name and address to the record, that business address to the record, that'd be great.
Good afternoon, Dustin Kern. My business address is 642 10th Street, number 202 in Marion, Iowa. Thank you, staff, Amelia, Emily, and Jerry. We've been working very hard on this. I just want to say thank you again to those three. They really did a great job in working through this. Just one quick clarification. I'm a real estate and right-of-way contractor. I do have Rick Grace here. He's a lot smarter than I when it comes to towers and everything, so I'm going to have him come up and address the question on timing. But I did want to let you all know and let Amelia know that actually on the way here, I found out from Snyder & Associates that revised corrected plat of survey is set to be recorded tomorrow. So we don't have any problem with the condition being left in place, but it is going to be taking place tomorrow. So thank you, and if you have any questions on a real estate or anything, let me know. Otherwise, I'll hand it over to Rick Grace from Alliant, and he can answer any other questions you may have.
We'll work together. Rick Grace, Alliant Energy, business address 1031 Iowa Street, Dubuque, Iowa. So your first question was, when will the old tower come down?
Yeah.
It's a rather quick process, because with that tall of a tower, you have to hire a crane to stack the new tower. So typically, you put up the new tower, you move all your systems over to it, make sure it works, and then very quickly take the old tower down. So I would say within 60 days of the new tower being complete, the old tower will be gone.
Is it the same equipment and crew used to disassemble the old tower?
Yes.
And put up the first one? So there's a benefit for you in doing it all in one fell swoop.
This is such an odd project, because typically you have a greenfield site where everything's new, or you have a rebuild where usually the building and the generator and a lot of that stuff stays. Where this, we're putting up the new tower, and then we're moving all of our accessories over. I'll be curious exactly how well it works.
Would you say within 60 days?
Oh, yeah. There's no question in my mind, though. Once 60 days of the new tower being up, the old tower will be down.
Just out of curiosity, then, will there be measures taken? Because I assume you'll be taking the old fence and moving it over to, or you'll leave the existing fence until the tower's down?
The nice thing about this, like I say, is the way it'll work is you put your foundations in for your new tower and your other accessory foundations in. The tower needs to cure for usually 30 days, that concrete. You get the steel on site, you erect the new tower, and during that time, nothing has changed at the old site at all. Then very quickly, once you have the new tower up and you put all your equipment on the tower, the old fence will come down, everything will move over probably in a day or two, and the tower will come down. And as a temporary measure, we will temporarily fence the old tower.
Is this is a communication tower?
Yes. Yes, Alliant, Amelia stated, it was put up for two-way radio way back when. Motorola system, of course, back in the day. And since then, of course, it's morphed into two-way radio. Our latest is AMI, automated meter reading, SCADA support, other systems.
So is it you said it's a colo tower, so all of those services are considered colo. Is there any cell antennas that are planned to go up on it from any of the carriers?
It's very surprising that Story County doesn't have that requirement that if you build a new tower, you have to allow for co-location. Alliant Energy is not in the business of leasing tower space, but we do build our towers such that if somebody comes to us and says, we'd like to go on your tower, we have some capacity to be able to do that. I tend to spec what I consider a full cell array at about 200 feet. So that's like 9 panels, 9 T-frames, and 9 lines going down the tower, which cellulars actually move down from that. They use fiber. Seem like they use fiber now. But I do try and make sure there's loading for that. And I know I saw on the agenda you've got the statewide intercommunication system coming up. I'd be curious to hear the details. We've got local government on quite a few of our towers system-wide.
This one particularly, with the application, said Corn Belt Power Cooperative would be co-locating.
Yeah, Corn Belt is actually on the tower.
Okay.
Well, on the old tower, they'll be on the new tower. Yeah.
So are you going to cut it over in the middle of the night?
No, see, that's the hard part about this, because it's going to be an outage of at least a day, if not 2 or 3 days, because this is a weird situation we have here.
I worked for Bell Atlantic in Maryland, and one of my jobs was to schedule cutovers. Mm. This is a time ago, but I kind of go.
Weather and, yeah.
I wish you well.
It'll be interesting.
All right. If there's no more questions for the afternoon, we'll move on. Thank you. Appreciate it. Are there any members of the public who'd like to comment on this proposal tonight? Very good. Move on to commission discussion. What are your thoughts, Commissioner?
It's almost like the issue was brought up, and I know nothing about towers, this is probably a very stupid question, but it's almost like the issue was brought up. We have two towers going up, or proposed to be going up within 6-8 miles of each other. Is there possibility of, I don't know, just with the interoperability, does that have to have its own tower?
I'm not sure I understand what you're asking.
It's two separate things, probably.
Yeah.
Two separate things, but I'm just curious.
This one is for Alliant Energy to fit their needs. They happen to be offering space on the tower. The, mm-hmm. the next item that Emily's going to talk about is the statewide communications network. Throughout the state, 80-some towers, they have a plan to locate on state-owned properties.
And this one had to locate as close as possible to the other tower.
Iowa DOT has this is separate from this issue, but has a policy for not co-locating like cell services and other services on their towers as we approved the one over by 3035, remember? Because there's that one and there's the DOT one, and there was that discussion then from some time ago.
You just wrote the, that was also my question.
All right.
Thank you.
Clarify, we do require new proposals to provide some reasoning for why they're unable to co-locate in other facilities, but we don't require new facilities to be built with the capacity to accommodate co-locations. Is that right?
That, yeah. So there's a new law, state law, Iowa Cell Siting Act. That limits what we can ask regarding co-location. And we can ask for a narrative with reasons why it wasn't possible. And that's what we do.
But we can't pass much judgment on
I don't
whether
think we
those
can
reasons
mandate
are adequate
it.
Or not.
No.
Okay. Any other questions, comments, or motions?
I can motion to adopt alternative 2. Sort of planning, planning, zoning staff recommendation, recommend approval of the conditional use permit for the tower, with, of course, the conditions as well.
Second. We have a motion by Holstrom and a second by Cable. Is there any discussion on the motion? So this would just be forwarding on staff's recommendation as staff's one condition.
Correct.
Any other discussions? Do we roll call, please?
Smith?
Yes.
Cable?
Yes.
McBride?
Yes.
Steele?
Yes.
Holstrom?
Yes.
Merkin?
Yes.
Motion passes. Do you have a positive recommendation to the Board of Supervisors? Thanks for coming in tonight. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Next up is CUP 02-17 and variance 02-17 for another communication system, and Emily has the staff report.
Okay, so this is a an application for conditional use permit for the Iowa Statewide Interoperable Communication System Tower. The applicant in this case is Joe Coyle of Pyramid Network Services. I will get into how he relates to the project. The company that builds the towers. The proposed property is located in Section 8 of Grant Township, and the goal of this The overall goal of the system is to complete the statewide communication system for first responders so that they're able to communicate on one, wavelength in the case of a disaster. So this is a federally mandated project. Iowa is bringing up the end of the states in completing these projects, so they are trying to move forward as quickly as possible. The Iowa Statewide Interoperable Communications System Board and the State of Iowa Communications and Network contracted with Motorola to design the system, and then Pyramid Network Services for the implementation. The proposed tower will communicate with Mitchellville to the southeast and Woodward to the southwest. So this is a search ring area for this specific tower. It's pretty large, almost from Boone, the city of Boone, all the way into Marshall County. And so there's really two parts to this request. I go through those. I just want to remind you the role of the Planning and Zoning Commission is to provide a recommendation on the conditional use permit only. The variance will be addressed by the Board of Adjustment. However, it's important for you in this case to know about the variance request as a part of the conditional use permit request. What you'll be taking action on is the conditional use permit application only.
So this is for the construction of the Iowa Statewide Interoperable Communication System Tower. It's a lattice tower with galvanized steel finish. The height is 395 feet. There will be 8-foot tall fencing surrounding the platform. They're proposing to use the existing equipment storage building located on the site, and we'll look at that in a minute. And then also adding a 1,000-gallon LP tank and a 50-kilowatt generator, which would be located within the tower's fence compound. In terms of the variance, the applicant has requested variance from the setback of the right-of-way requirement, which is 150% of the height of the tower. The requested variance is 313 feet, but based on the site plan that was submitted, the actual variance request is for 274.58 feet from the Highway 30 right-of-way. So here's your vicinity map. We're in Grant Township, on the western edge of Grant Township, very close to the Highway 30, I-35 interchange. The zoning is A1. Subject property is here. There is some commercial light industrial zoning on the south side of Highway 30 there, but it's surrounded by A1 zoning. The Ames Urban Fringe Plan designates this property as agricultural long-term industrial reserve. Again, the highway-oriented commercial to the south and natural area to the west. So the proposed site is an Iowa DOT Department of Transportation maintenance site, and this is located on the north side of 30 again. The parcel is 19.43 net acres. So I wanted to provide you with some outlines of what area would be meeting our guidelines or our setback requirements, and then what would kind of our proposed compromise area. So the area in red approximately would allow for the applicant to meet all of our setback requirements. This is an area of about 2.85 acres. So the proposed compromise is to get a setback from the north edge of the frontage road, which is here, of 100% of the height of the tower. So that area does expand it a little bit. That area is in blue, and that's an area of about 4 acres. This is the proposed site plan. The proposal is to locate the tower next to an existing tower. The existing tower is 180 feet and is planned to be removed when the new tower is completed. So the proposed tower is in red. There are 4 existing propane tanks, which will remain to the south of the existing tower, and then the about 10 by 14 equipment building located just to the northeast of the existing tower. The proposal is to take access off of the Highway 30 frontage road from the existing DOT access. So this is looking west toward the proposed site from U.S. Highway 30, the existing tower here circled in red. Again, that's 180 feet, but will be removed after the completion of the new tower. Here's looking north to the site from the frontage road, the IDOT entrance, looking west along the frontage road toward the 2 churches which are located along that road, looking south across U.S. Highway 30, and then east along the frontage road. Here's the proposed location of the tower. Existing tower is here, and just to the east here is the location of the proposed tower. Looking west from the proposed tower location, you see there is a building to act as screening from the proposed tower. The existing equipment building, which the applicant is hoping to reuse for the new tower, just from different angle there. Here's looking east. We're on the north side of the existing tower now, looking east. And you just see this is a space between the towers and the garage to the north. Again, this is the garage to the north. So in terms of standards of approval for a conditional use permit, compatibility is the first one. Communication towers are permitted as a conditional use permit in the A1 agricultural district. The closest residence is approximately a third mile to the east of the IDOT property. The IDOT property will continue to be used as it is currently. Again, that existing tower is planned to be removed. The Ames Urban Fringe Plan Land Use Framework map designates this area as agricultural long-term industrial reserve. It's staff's belief that the construction of this tower will not inhibit future industrial growth if that's the way the development happens into the future. So the setback requirements are met in three directions, but the proposed location does not meet the required setback of the right-of-way, which is 150% of the height of the tower. Again, the applicant applied for that 313-foot variance from the setback. Transition, the IDOT sites contain several buildings, specifically to the west and the north of the proposed tower site. There are trees along the south side of the property as well as along the east side. There will be an 8-foot fence construct around the tower compound. If the tower is moved to the north meet the setback requirements, the building would further buffer the base from the right-of-way. So this is looking north at the site. You can see there's several mature trees along the south side of the property. This is the frontage road here. Traffic, there will be no new access points along the Highway 30 frontage road, and traffic will be limited to the existing IDOT traffic and then tower maintenance workers. There is quite a bit of traffic along that frontage road and Highway 30. So in 2007, there were about 12,800 annual average daily traffic count from the IDOT, and that increased by about 12% by 2015. So if we follow that, it will likely continue to increase. Along the frontage road, there's, of course, the IDOT traffic to and from their maintenance site. And then there are the two churches that take access from that frontage road as well. And one has over 300 active members. And then Cornerstone has over 2,000 active members. Here is just an aerial. This is from 2013, but I wanted to point out all the traffic that would be using this frontage road.
Those are the two churches, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep, the IDOT site is here. In terms of parking and loading, construction equipment and materials will be located on the IDOT property. Maintenance vehicles will, of course, also be on the property and located outside of the right-of-way. The signs and lighting, FAA has mandated dual red medium intensity lights, which will flash day and night for aircraft and migratory birds. The planning and development staff have requested the light specifications, which must meet the county requirements and the FAA requirements prior to the issuance of the preliminary zoning permit. No additional signage is planned for the site other than the cautionary signage. In terms of environmental protection, the concrete base will be 5,500 square feet in size. Erosion control will follow Story County guidelines. And prior to the issuance of the preliminary development permit, planning and development will request a statement from an engineer indicating incorporation of the Iowa Stormwater Management Manual best practices. So as you looked at in the previous case, the commission must find that the following criteria are met. The previous criteria were met and must recommend approval of the application unless it concludes that there's a strong probability that the development will. The first thing is not adequately safeguard health, safety, and general welfare of persons residing or working in adjoining or surrounding property. So the proposed tower, again, will not meet the required setback from Highway 30 right-of-way. This is a concern based on the traffic that uses that road, as well as Highway 30. The proposed location, there's potential for the tower to fall onto Highway 30. Again, the traffic has been increasing on Highway 30 and is likely to continue to increase. In addition to the IDOT maintenance vehicles, there's significant traffic along that road for the churches. Project must not impair an adequate supply of light and air to surrounding properties. We think that there will be little to no impact on the supply of light and air to surrounding properties. Again, the closest dwelling is about a third of a mile away. Unduly increased congestion in the roads or the hazard from fire, flood, or similar dangers. Following construction of the proposed tower, there will be little additional traffic created because of the tower, again, limited to primarily maintenance vehicles. And then diminish and repair established property values on adjoining or surrounding property. The county assessor's office raised no concerns about impact on property values, and no negative impacts are anticipated. And number five, not be in accord with the intent, purpose, and spirit of the land development regulations or county cornerstone to capstone plan. The Ames Urban Fringe Plan does designate this as agricultural long-term industrial reserve. The designation supports long-term planning objective of accommodating future demand for industrial growth, but is not likely to impact the existing agricultural uses and will not take any land out of row crop production. We, as staff, believe that the tower will not inhibit any future industrial growth on the site, and towers are very typical of growing, changing areas, which this intersection of Interstate 35 and Highway 30 is. Moving on to the supplemental standards, co-location, the applicant did provide a statement that co-location is not possible for the existing or for the proposed equipment. He provided a list of towers in the vicinity, and none were tall enough. None met the required height for the system. Additionally, as a general rule, the ISICS towers statewide will be located on properties owned by the state of Iowa to reduce the cost of the project. So separation from planned or existing residential properties, this is not applicable based on the C2C designation. We believe that there's no planned residential in this area. And the closest dwelling is, again, about a third mile away. In terms of the height, the applicant provided a letter from a Motorola engineer stating that the proposed height of 395 feet is necessary to meet the network functionality objectives. The required setbacks, this is where the variance request comes in. Again, the side setback, side and rear setbacks will be met by the proposed tower. We do feel that there is sufficient space on the IDOT site, which is 19.43 acres, to meet all of the setback requirements, including the 150% of the tower height from the right-of-way. The fencing and screening, per the supplemental standards, the applicant will be constructing an 8-foot fence around the tower. Anti-climbing devices are also planned. The IDOT site contains buildings to the north and west, and then the trees along the south and east sides of the property. The aesthetics of the tower include galvanized steel. Again, the lights will be the dual red flashing lights, both night and day, and applicant does not propose any additional signage. In addition to the FAA determination of no hazard, the applicant submitted a statement from the City of Ames regarding the finding that the municipal airport will have no issues with the proposed tower. Obstruction of view, the proposed tower will be visible from Highway 30, from Interstate 35, Lincoln Highway, and other local roads. However, it is not anticipated to be an issue for publicly owned or managed areas or major view corridors. The view when entering and exiting the IDOT site will not be impacted. And then the applicant did provide all applicable information as required by the submittal requirements. Moving on to the variance portion. Variances look at legal principles and findings of fact. The first one is the finding of unnecessary hardship. And the land in question cannot yield a reasonable return if used only for a purpose allowed in that zone. The existing IDOT site has been used for maintenance and equipment storage for many years. This is likely to continue because of its location near Highway 30 and Interstate 35. There is an existing tower. Yep.
Can I interrupt you for a second?
Yeah.
I'm curious as to whether this might, going through all the findings of facts for a variance application, might actually be a little confusing to us at the moment.
Okay.
Since we're not actually called to make a recommendation mm-hmm. on a variance.
Okay.
I wonder if instead of presenting the legal principles and findings of fact, if you could just kind of summarize
sure.
what the Board of Adjustment will have to consider in whether to grant the variance
sure.
or not.
We thought that was helpful for the yeah. Planning Zoning Commission to make a decision about the conditional use permit.
Right. I mean, I think it's helpful to know that.
Andrew, I didn't hear you.
We were going through this because we thought it would be helpful for the Planning and Zoning Commission to know, because again, your role is to make a recommendation to the Board of Adjustment on the conditional use permit only, but it's important to know that part of this involves a variance appeal on the setback. So that's something that you need to consider with your recommendation.
I totally agree, Jerry. I just think that we can deal with it.
A summary?
Here broadly about what
sure.
the Board of Adjustment will consider instead of, you know, I mean, we're not really trained in all the findings of fact and legal principles for a variance, so.
Okay. Yeah, so I will just do the summary of the variance request on the points that the Board of Adjustment will need to consider, and then we will go back to the comment section. Just a few points here. The safety and welfare of adjacent property owners and the volume of motorists using the frontage road and U.S. Highway 30 is a priority identified in the land development regulations. The state IDOT property contains over 19 acres, and there is ample space to place the proposed tower and components at a location that meets our required setbacks and allows the IDOT to adequately utilize their site as they are currently doing. The county zoning ordinance does not allow for a zero fall zone letter from an engineer as an exception to meeting the setback requirements, which we feel really emphasizes the importance of meeting the setback. Additionally, the zero fall zone letter appears to identify only a wind event. Of course, in Iowa, we know that several weather events can happen at the same time. Fire can take place, other accidents. So we feel that those things should be considered as well. With the proposed project, the existing IDOT tower is planned to be removed, and the small communication equipment, shelter, and electrical wiring and components could be relocated on the site to accommodate the proposed tower. The benefit of any additional time and or possible expense to research a new location on the subject property to meet those required setbacks will really just improve the safety of the public and adjacent property owners. Okay, so comments from the interagency review. Planning and development staff, just as a summary, threw out some proposed ideas of how the site could meet the, or the tower could meet the setbacks, including relocating the equipment shed possibly running the cables underground if necessary. So we commented on some of those and asked what was possible and what would not be possible. We did send public notification letters on March 28th regarding the conditional use permit application and the variance application. We also sent a notice to the City of Ames. But a representative of the Ames Chamber of Commerce did contact our department with questions about the impact of the tower on the East Industrial Annexation area. We don't believe that there will be any impact on this area. Additional comments. The applicant provided examples of other jurisdictions that waived setback requirements or issued a variance to setback requirements. The applicant also provided a court case which an attorney with the Story County Attorney's Office deemed not applicable or relevant to Story County. Planning and development staff did reach out to the Iowa DOT Assistant District 1 engineer to inquire if there are any concerns regarding the Highway 30 corridor study area. But it appears, based on the last draft version that we have, that the reconfiguration of the accesses will be to the east of the proposed tower site. So, points to consider for the conditional use permit. Communications towers and facilities are permitted as a conditional use in the A1 district if the conditional use permit is granted. The Ames Urban Fringe Plan Land Use Framework map identifies this area's agriculture long-term industrial reserve. The proposed tower will not likely impact the agricultural uses surrounding the site and will not take any land out of row crop production. The tower is not anticipated to inhibit any future industrial growth. Again, in terms of screening the existing buildings and trees on site, we feel we'll provide adequate screening. Access for the tower will be through the existing IDOT drive off the frontage road. With the tower, there'll be little increase in traffic, pretty much limited to maintenance vehicles. All tower construction equipment will be on the IDOT site and not within the right-of-way. And the signs, lighting, and environmental protection measures will meet Story County land development regulations and FAA requirements. We reviewed the variance request. So planning and development staff recommend approval of the conditional use permit for the Iowa Statewide Interoperable Communication System Tower based on a site review, the information provided by the applicant, and the information provided in the staff report as put forth in KCUP 0317 with a setback compromise proposed. I guess the recommendation is contingent on the Board of Adjustment support of a compromise to a setback from the north edge of that frontage road equal to or greater than 100% of the height of the tower. And so we're proposing alternative number two, which is supporting the CUP contingent on the Board of Adjustment's support of that compromise setback requirement.
Okay, other questions for staff?
I have a few.
Okay.
Who will own this tower? Who owns the tower?
Will be the state of Iowa.
What department of the state of Iowa?
The Interoperable Communications System Board.
So the board, if the board actually owns it, it's not an agency. The board is the agency? Or is the board... I'm trying to look it up and figure it out right now, okay? And I'm trying to...
There are several...
ICN, Iowa Communication Network... is a part of this as well. They're the project managers for this project.
ICN's project manager. What is the, then it's government funds
that are going to
basically pay for this construction.
Correct.
And the state of Iowa will own it.
Correct.
On state-owned AOT land.
Right. Yep.
Okay. You said... I saw somewhere that they need to place these towers on, or their desires to place the towers on currently state-owned land because that saves money, which is a good thing.
Correct.
For government, for all of us, but it's not required that they place it on state-owned. They could, this interoperable communication system board could go out and purchase its own land.
Yes, correct.
Correct, okay.
Or possibly do a lease.
Or do lease, a ground lease. Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. How, you said the applicant could meet the setback within the DOT land. Do you have any idea how much that would cost to meet that setback? Is it moving a building, which sounds like an equipment building, which sounds like a steel building, not a stick built kind of thing?
It's about 150 square foot equipment shelter mm-hmm. building.
Okay, so be pouring a new pad for it someplace and moving it if it's in good enough shape to move it.
Correct. They intend to reuse it.
Does that need to happen anyway, though?
They intend to reuse it.
Yeah, they're going to reuse it, but are they going to reuse it in place, or are they going to reuse it?
No, they were. The proposal is to reuse it. In the location it's currently located.
Okay.
The interdepartment review in our materials, all I can find, and maybe I'm looking at the wrong ones, I'm looking at, this is not the one in the PDF. Oh, it is the one in the PDF. I see on page 17 of the report, comments from the interagency review team following the relevant comments documented. It seems like it's just questions. I'm a little confused. I see Environmental Health says that they didn't give a septic system plan,
mm-hmm.
but please verify height requirements. Is it possible that elevations could be lowered to reduce the overall? Were there answers to these questions someplace?
Yes, the applicant did provide responses.
Okay, they're not in our report, though.
Correct, they're not.
Are there any of them you think we should know about?
You can provide an update, though.
You don't have to read them all, but are there any that are really relevant to what we're doing here tonight?
They did provide information about what their height limitations are. Proposed tower height is 395 feet. I think the highest elevation for one of the pieces of equipment was around 383 feet is where they needed to be at. So it couldn't be lower than that for that piece of equipment. But there's like five or six things that they're proposing to mount to this proposed tower.
All I wanted to confirm was that there isn't anything, any of the answers to these questions that causes you concern that we should know about. I mean, I don't want you to go through every one of them, but you're saying you got satisfactory answers to the questions?
Correct.
Okay. The rule is 150%
mm-hmm.
of the tower height.
Of the tower height. So that would be about 600 feet.
Yep, just
592.5 feet.
Okay, so you proposed a compromise to 100%. If we have a rule of 150%, why did you think 100% was good enough?
Well, what was communicated to us was, again, their goal of siting these on state-owned property, and also the second criteria is they want to locate where existing towers are.